We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Let's go to Joshua chapter 1,
and let's read verse 8.
We're going to personalize it for ourselves.
So say it out loud with me.
This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth,
but I shall meditate in it.
Day and night,
that I may observe to do
according to all
that is written in it.
For then I will make my way prosperous.
And then I will have good success.
Praise God.
Amen.
So that's what we're here for.
To seek God, to seek His word.
Seek His kingdom.
Seek His kingdom first.
And His righteousness.
And then all these things will be added to you.
Everything that you need of.
It's in God's presence.
It's in His will for you.
It's in His word.
Written out for us.
All we have to do
is get in it
and apply it to our lives
and watch God's word work.
Amen.
And we do it by faith.
Amen.
All right, so this month's series, we've been talking about praise and worship.
And if you did miss any of the previous messages,
they're on our YouTube channel.
They're also on our website.
So go back and listen to those.
If you didn't get those, last week we had talked about.
We've been talking about praise and worship last week.
If you remember, I did something very humbling here.
I laid down on the floor and showed what the actual word of worship means.
It means to prostrate oneself.
It means to bow down before.
So this is what we do when we come and worship God.
We're humbling ourselves.
We're trying to make ourselves lower
so that we can lift Him up higher,
so that we can become small and He can become big,
and so that we can magnify God in our lives.
And praise and worship.
Worship him, and to praise means,
of course, the same thing would mean to praise anything.
It's just in church somehow,
we've turned that into singing fast.
And worship means to sing slow.
But that's not really what praise and worship is.
Praising is extolling, giving honor, and expressing.
To God, who He is, and what He's done for us,
and how much we love Him and how grateful we are to Him.
And so the more that we get to know Him, the more that we see Him working in our lives and working in us and through us,
the more easy and natural it becomes for us to praise Him.
And as we praise Him,
and we put our eyes on Him,
and then it turns into worship.
Where all of a sudden the presence of God comes.
And touches us and changes us.
And we've been talking about how the presence of God is...
Where God really intended man and women to live in God's presence.
That's where we can be changed by Him into His image.
You know, for me personally, sometimes when you read the scriptures and you see all the things that we should do and all the things we shouldn't do,
if you ever made it into a big list,
there's a lot to it.
Did you ever find that out?
I gotta do all this.
I can't do all that.
Man, this is a lot.
But then when you enter into God's presence,
I don't know how, but it just makes it all so easy.
It's like, no big deal.
I can easily lay that down.
Oh, you want me to give that?
No problem, I'll give that.
Whatever you want me to do, Lord,
that's what God's presence comes to do.
It comes to change us and to make us more like Him.
God is love.
And as Ephesians 5:1 says,
that we're to imitate God as dear children.
And so we're to imitate love.
We're to imitate unselfishness.
We're to imitate giving.
We're to imitate joy.
And we're to imitate helping other people.
And when you get into God's presence,
all of a sudden, He gives you this desire to help other people.
This desire to minister to other people.
This desire to share the good news of the gospel to other people.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So, where in the mix does singing,
music, dancing before the Lord. Where does that come into play? And this is something that I want to talk about today. Because the last 2 weeks have been focusing on the purpose of God's presence, which is to come into the purpose of praise and worship, which is to come into His presence. And I made a great emphasis that we place all this importance on the songs, on the music, on everything that we're doing. And a lot of that has often turned into something that we're doing for our own sakes. To make ourselves feel like we worshiped, or we did something spiritual, or we accomplished something. But really, the purpose of singing those songs is to praise and to bring worship to God. And so it may have sounded like I have a negative opinion when it comes to singing, dancing, playing instruments, but I don't. It is scriptural. And I don't know if we'll be able to get into it this week. Hopefully, if not over the coming weeks, we'll get into New Testament praise and worship. But this morning, I want to go back again to the Old Testament. And before we do, along the lines of what I've been sharing, the first time that we see a song recorded in the Bible is Exodus chapter 15, which is 2,500 years after Adam was born. So for 2,500 years of man's history on Earth, we don't have any record of them singing songs to God. But yet we know that Adam walked in the cool of the day. I am so sorry, sweetheart, but you're probably going to have to go. I love you so much, I want you to stay in service, but I can just tell you're too much of a sweet distraction for everyone. People can't decide if they want to listen or watch our sweet little girl out there, which I don't blame you. If I had the choice between watching her and me, I would choose her any day. But so for 2,500 years, we don't have any record of songs being sung to God. Does that mean that they weren't being sung? I don't think so. I'm sure that they were. But I think sometimes we put this emphasis on the singing, on the music, on the dancing. If you go back to Paul, and can you imagine Paul as he's traveling through the world, and he's sharing the gospel with people, and we put such an important emphasis on the singing before service. But do you think that Paul, when he was in Greece, in Athens, at the Areopagus, on just a big piece of rock, where they go and they have pagan rituals and they're worshiping pagan gods and they're doing all that, and he begins to share. Do you think he had time? Do you think he turned to Barnabas and he said, "Hey, why don't you just strum up a few songs on the guitar? We'll get these people going, and then I'll be able to preach the gospel." I don't think so. I think in a lot of places, they just took the opportunity to share the word, and the word hit home with people's hearts. And once the word and God becomes alive in our hearts, worship becomes natural. Praising God becomes natural. So it's not about the singing, it's not about the music, but it's about our heart towards God. And from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, you'll see that praise and worship is so much less about singing than we think it is, and it's so much more about our heart towards God. But that doesn't make singing bad. Singing is just a vehicle of expressing our praise and our worship to God. It's a vehicle to take us, to take our praises to God. But if we were limited in our ability to praise and worship to our ability to play instruments and sing songs, some of you, like me, would be hopelessly lost in our ability to praise and to worship God. And so if, again, it's not to do so much with singing, instruments, dancing, well then, what is it? Let's look at the first time that we see that God was worshiped. Go to Genesis chapter 22. And while you're turning there, let me just point out
that there's multiple scriptures, even in the New Testament, that talk about singing hymns and psalms and making melody to God. So it's not, again, we're going to get there, okay? But I want to show the most important thing about praise and worship is that this is all about our heart. Say it with me. My praise and my worship to God is about my heart. So if you come into service and you find that it's hard to praise and to worship God, if you find that it's hard to receive from Him, then that just shows you that there's something in your heart that needs to be changed in your relationship with God. Because some people will come to a service and they'll say, man, those songs, they were just off and I couldn't really press in. Those songs, you know, they're too new, they're too old, they're too loud, they're too quiet. You can't ever get it right, I promise you. I promise you. Even if you have people all of the same age, they're still going to have different opinions. But, you know, older folks, don't take this the wrong way. You like music a little quieter. Younger folks, don't take this the wrong way. You like music a little louder. Okay? Older folks, remember you were young once. Young folks, remember, you'll be old soon, okay? So, but when we come and we're coming to a service to praise and to worship God, and we can't enter in because the song wasn't right, because the volume wasn't right, because the smoke machine wasn't working, because of any of that, if that causes us to not be able to enter in, then that's showing us that the problem isn't with any of that, but it's with our heart. You know, that part of me likes our recorded praise and worship because of that. I know it's not the best, okay? It's recorded. Live would be so much nicer. But part of me likes the fact that it's recorded because it's not the best. Part of me liked when I was in Haiti in this old tin barn, 105 degrees out, 200% humidity, if that's a thing. It felt like it. I don't know. You just stand there and you sweat. Like, you stand there and, you know, in Haiti, believe it or not, they wear suits to church, even in a tin barn in the middle of nowhere. They wear the best that they have to church. And so you stand there, and especially as, you know, a foreign traveling preacher there, you wear your suit and you just stand there and you sweat. And then when you get up to minister, you just, I mean, it's like you're in the shower. But you know, we're standing there, praise and worship. Do you want to know what it was? A man sitting next to like this metal bin with a stick banging on it, trying to just, you know, make some noise. No audio equipment, none of that. And guess what? Those people in that 105 degree tin barn worshiped harder. They worshiped with more heart than I have seen in probably the majority of most American churches that I've been in. They were just happy to be together to worship God. You see, if we come together and it's a struggle for us to give our praise and our worship to God, then there is something wrong with us, not with the music. You don't need music for the presence of God to come. And ultimately, what we're trying to do, what we're endeavoring to do when we come together in praise and worship is to seek the presence of God. You know, you can go home into your basement, turn the lights off. Probably, if you have one, probably the weirdest place in the house, right? And you can find the presence of God there. You can go out in the woods, like Charles Finney did, and find the presence of God there. You can have worship on, worship off, music on, music off. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with our heart. It has to do with us drawing nigh unto God. This is praise and worship. Our praise is to declare to Him how good He is, what He has done. And then our worship is us getting lower and Him becoming higher, Him being magnified in our life. Amen? So did you find Genesis 22? Like I say, if you didn't yet, just give up. Genesis chapter 22, let's just start in the first verse here. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Man, what a hard thing for the Lord to tell him to do. What a cruel thing to tell him to do. How could God be love, and yet he's telling Abraham to go offer his son, whom he'd been waiting for, whom God himself promised to him, go there and offer him as a burnt offering. So Abraham prayed for 40 days and 40 nights and sought the Lord as to, could this really be your will? Like all good spiritual Christians do when the Lord tells us to do something. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young man, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and what?
Worship.
What were they going to do? He was going to sacrifice his son. He didn't know that the Lord was going to stop him. He didn't know that that angel of the Lord was going to tell him, Abraham, hold up, you passed. He went there to offer his son as a burnt offering on the altar. And it was called worship. He went there to take his most prized possession, the thing that he cared about most, the thing that he'd been believing God for, and offer it to God as an offering. If you can't give the very things that God has blessed you with, if there is something in your heart, some sort of possession, some sort of career, some sort of position, some sort of anything that's in your heart that you couldn't lay down and say, God, it's yours, then you have something wrong, something blocking between you and God. You see, God sees it as worship when we come and we give to him of ourselves, whatever he may ask. That's why sometimes, you know, sometimes you might feel like, I should give this thing, and then later you're like, yeah, I don't know if that was me, the flesh, thinking that, or if I was really led by the Holy Spirit to give that away. Have any of you ever felt that before? You know what I think about all that? I think you're better off safe giving it. Just the fact that you can show yourself and the Lord that even if I think you want me to give something, Father, I will give it. You know what God sees that as? Worship. Now, I don't see anything here about a song. I don't see anything here about a dance. I don't see anything here about happy clappy and jumping up and down. I don't see any of that. I see a father taking his son to his death, where he is going to kill his son and burn him as an offering to God. And yet, that is what is called worship. Now, God wouldn't ever actually instruct man to murder, which is what that would have been. He obviously, we know the rest of the story, he stops him, he tells him, you don't need to do that. But the fact that Abraham was willing showed that God could trust him. Do you want to be found trustworthy with God? I know I do. Because you're not going to go any further with the kingdom in the kingdom of God if he can't trust you. Isn't that right, parents? Can you trust If you can't trust your children, are you going to give them more responsibility? I see that you've been failing me every single time I've asked you to clean your room, so now why don't you clean the whole house? I see that you've never done a single thing that I asked you to do, so here's the keys to my car. Go out and take it for a ride. Enjoy yourself. We don't do that, right? And so God expects us to be obedient to Him. He expects us, no matter what it is, when there's something, you see, if there's something that you have that is worth more to you than your relationship with God, I would get rid of it. I would give it. If that's your favorite television show, I would give it. If you can't read your Bible during the week, but you can watch television, I would give it. Very popular message in 2019. Listen to them roar. Everyone thunderous applause. If you can't read your Bible and pray, but you can scroll looking for the bottom of the Facebook wall, you know, just keep going because you're never going to find it. If you can do that, but you can't spend time in the presence of God during the week, in prayer, in the Word, in telling Him how much you love Him, I would give it. And you know what God sees when you do that? Worship. Now, you're probably not going to go to any other praise and worship conference or teaching, and they're going to tell you going off social media or turning your TV off is worship. But when you give something that means something to you, to the Lord, whether it's your time, whether it's your resources, whether it's a very precious possession that you own, and you know that you love that thing so much that it now has more worth to you than your relationship with the Lord, if you can't give it, then it has you. So there's been things that I've given away just because I don't want them to have me. You know, I was given a rifle, and I love guns. Guns are my love language, you know. All right, we got some men in the house here. All right, thank goodness. We got some men here today. I love guns. And it was during one of our conferences. And this rifle had been given to me, and the Lord spoke to me, at least, let me rephrase that, I felt in my heart to give it. So I gave it. Made sure it had a good scope, took my favorite bipod off of my other rifle, took, you know, everything with it. Why? It wasn't like I had an audible voice of God telling me to do something. I wasn't trying to impress anyone. I just don't want anything because I love my guns. But I wanted to show God, I will give whatever you want of mine away. Nothing. Whatever means something to you, that isn't to say that you every time you get something you like, oh, I got to give this away. I'm not allowed to enjoy anything. But if it has your heart, and you feel like, oh, I could never give that away, I'm not telling you you should give it away, but I'm telling you, you should be careful and make sure that when God comes to you and He tells you to do something, that you do it. Jesus said that where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. And I think this is why tithing and giving offerings on top of the tithe, which is what that is, we do that on a regular basis just to consistently remind ourselves, God, you're first in my life. Part of the blessing, you know, is just that we give it and we know that as we give and as we're generous, that God blesses back to us. It's like, you know, no farmer expects to reap a harvest without sowing crops or without sowing seeds. So part of it, what we're doing is we're sowing and we're expecting a return back. But a big part of it, probably the main part of giving, is simply showing God, you have first place in my heart. When my paycheck comes, 10% of it, without even me thinking about it, without even me praying, that's what I mean, without me praying about it, it belongs to the Lord. And I'm just happy to give it to him. He could have asked me for 20%. He could have asked me for 50%. And would 50% of your income on this earth be worth it to walk in covenant with God? Absolutely. So 10%, whatever you want, Lord. And if you want an offering on top of that, you want me to give on top of 10%? Sure, God. Because I trust you. We seek your kingdom and your righteousness, and then you'll add everything that we have need of. So why should I think that by me holding on to something that he wants from me is going to get me further down the road? Every time that I think that way, I'm putting my trust in myself and my resources and my ability to get myself where I want to go. But when I give and I put those offerings in and I put those sacrifices on the altar, that's showing God, hey, I trust you. And what is that? It's worship. You probably don't expect to go to praise and worship teaching and learn about offerings. But if you'll study worship throughout the Bible, especially throughout the Old Testament, you find where they gave when they worshiped, where they built an altar and gave a sacrifice to worship. This is the first time that worship is mentioned in the Bible, and it's about Abraham sacrificing, offering up his most precious possession. And so you cannot expect that you're going to come into the presence of God if stuff has your heart. If you care more about your job title, your career, how the esteem of men, if you care more about that, which I'm all for it, go to school, get a great degree, go out there, get a great job, build a product, start a company, go for it, absolutely. But if what would happen if God asked you to give it? Would you? Or would you say, God, I'm willing to give some things, but you can't touch this? If there's an untouchable area in your life that you couldn't give, that's going to block your ability to come into the presence of God. It gets so quiet when you talk about this. But among a room full of givers, that should be exciting. That should be good news. We should be like, woohoo, I am a tither. Woohoo, I am a giver. Woohoo, there's nothing blocking me. You know, in the New Testament, music isn't really mentioned. Songs aren't really mentioned. Praise and worship in conjunction with singing and praising God isn't really mentioned. There's a couple scriptures that I'll mention from Colossians, Ephesians, where it talks about singing hymns and spiritual songs and making melodies in our heart. But beyond that, there's just a couple scriptures where it's mentioned. Other than that, the words praise, worship, song, dance, all that in conjunction with praise and worship isn't really mentioned in the New Testament. And so, you know, it's interesting. Tithing is only mentioned a couple times in the New Testament. It is mentioned in Hebrews and it's mentioned in the Gospels. And people will, New Testament Christians have no problem saying, well, that was all under the Old Testament. Well, as far as I can really tell, there's just as much scripture in the New Testament about tithing as there is about singing songs. And yet we have no problem referring back to, well, Psalms, and you look at David, and you look at Moses, and you look at all these people in the Old Testament, and so singing songs is clearly scriptural. In the same note, tithing is clearly scriptural. But you know, we don't see tithing as worship. We don't see giving as worship. But we see singing as worship. There's just as much precedent in the New Testament to give of your finances in worship to God as there is singing. If you don't believe me, look it up. I already did, but don't take my word for it. Look it up. The one place I think where music is mentioned is in the parable of the prodigal son, where he's coming home and he hears singing and dancing and partying going on. But it wasn't like a teaching that we should be out praising and worshiping with song and dance. So worship is lifestyle. Worship is sacrifice. Worship is giving of our precious possessions, our lifestyle, our attitude towards God, our gratefulness. Do you know in every passage in the New Testament, those ones that I'm hopefully going to get to, where it mentions singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart, it mentions thanksgiving. In the same passage where it talks about singing, it talks about thanksgiving. You see, worship is so much about our lifestyle and our attitude and our heart towards God, so much more than anything else. Now, I love good music, and I love that it can help me be able to sing praises to God, but ultimately, my singing, my praise, my worship, my declaring to God how good He is stems from my heart, not my ability to read words on a screen and to sing along. But it has to do with my heart drawing near to God. I want to come into your presence, Father. I love you so much. You're so wonderful. You're so worthy. There it is. His presence just comes as you begin to lift up His name, as you begin to give Him precedence in your life, as you lay down the things in your life that so easily hold on to men and women's hearts. That's what's different about the born-again believer. You know, you look at someone like Zacchaeus. What happened? He comes down from that tree and he says, Lord, if I've taken anything from anyone unjustly, I'll give back fourfold and I'll give half of all my possessions to the poor. You see, he had an encounter with God and all of a sudden the things that were so valuable to him, the things that meant so much to his heart, his position, his success, his financial wealth, all of that all of a sudden didn't mean anything. It didn't have the value that it when you become a citizen of the kingdom of God, when you become a child of God, those things, the finances, it just becomes tools to be able to help expand the kingdom of God, but not some sort of treasure that we're hoarding up to gain our self-worth from. But our worthiness comes from Him. It's all about what He's done for us. And so that's why we can be just so grateful. I'm worth everything because of Him, because of what He's done. If I never earn another dollar in the rest of my life, if my career fails for the rest of my life, God still loves me. He still sent Jesus to die for me. I can still be a child of God. I'll still be born again and go to heaven. You see, my worth comes from Him. And so it's natural to give Him back the praise, the glory, the honor. Do you know what happened when Abraham did that? Let's find out where it is. Verse 15, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing. But I thought God doesn't care about our giving. Because you have done this thing, because you have given this offering, because you have given what was most precious to you, and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. your descendants as far as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of your enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Because you have what? Obeyed my voice in giving, in sacrificing. You see, this isn't an offering message. I'm not teaching this because, like, finances are low, we got to teach on giving. We don't operate like that here. I don't care if giving's popular or not, I teach on it, whether people like it or not. 2019, if everyone decides, well, tithing, giving, all that's, you know, not for me, I hate that, I'm going to teach on it anyway. Because it's about your heart. Money shows your heart. Men, if you don't believe me, ask your wife. When's the last time you spent money on her? It exposes your heart. All the ladies said. So the goal is that we can come into God's presence freely without anything holding us back, so that he can change us into who he wants us to become. Your success is your ability, tied to your ability to hear and do the word of God. Right? And as you get into God's presence, isn't that where you hear him? Isn't it? When you come into his presence and he asks you to change something about your life, you weren't going to hear that watching Netflix. You weren't going to hear that reading the popular magazine or blog or Facebook post or whatever. You're not going to hear it there. But you come into his presence, and all of a sudden, he tells you, you need to love your wife more. You need to respect your husband more. You need to treat your children better. You need to be more generous. He all of a sudden, he just molds you and shapes you. And in his presence, those things become easy. It's just like, you know, it's so wonderful being in his presence that you're just like, sure, God, whatever you want. Isn't that right? And that's where we become successful. Now, you can get successful to some degree on your own, by working hard, by pushing. People out in the world, they can, you know, people wonder, how do people become rich and they're not saved? Anyone can go out there and become rich, but it doesn't mean you're blessed. You can go out there and make money and be smart, and you can push other people down and not care about other people, and you can do all that. Or not even do all that, but you can gain all this stuff and actually be a good, you know, good upstanding citizen, but you're still not fulfilled or satisfied. You still have that emptiness. But your success is tied to your ability to hear God and then do what he says. Those 10 lepers, when Jesus found them, they were all messed up, right? They stank. They looked nasty. They weren't even allowed to be around people. They had to stay outside the city. Getting stinky together. What changed them? Their ability to hear the word of God and then do it. Take action on it. It says that Jesus told them to go present themselves to the priest and offer the offering that was due. Go and act like you're clean, even though they weren't. And yet, as they went, they were cleaned. They were made whole, or the one was made whole. that came back and worshiped God. Now, when Jesus was on the earth, he was in one place at one time. So people's ability to be able to hear the word of God was tied to their ability to be around Jesus. And that's why he kept telling them, it's to your advantage that I go away, because when I go away, I will send the paraclete, the comforter, the one called alongside to help, the standby. I will send the advocate, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send him. And then everyone will be able to, all at the same time, all around the world, be able to hear directly from God no matter where you are. You see, the people in the Gospels, their ability to receive a miracle, their ability to do something totally fantastic, to receive a miracle, was tied to their ability to be near Jesus, to hear what he said, and then to do what he said. But you and me, we have the Holy Spirit that comes to dwell on the inside of us. And so we, for you and me, our ability to be successful, our ability to receive a miracle from God, our ability to walk in abundance of prosperity and divine health, it's simply about entering that the presence and the manifest presence of God through the Holy Spirit, and then hearing what he has to say to us, and then doing whatever that is. And so if there's something hindering your ability to hearing God's voice, well, then you have to give it. It might be your job. You know, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So I'm not about that. I'm not about let's all just, you know, sit around, sing kumbaya, and say we're living by faith. I'm all about having a job so that God can bless the work of your hands. But maybe your job becomes a stumbling block to you because you care more about your job than you do entering the presence of God. Because if you're a born-again believer and you want to become successful God's way, that's the key, God's way, not man's way. You can go out there and do whatever you want as a born-again believer in and of yourself and experience relative success according to worldly standards. But if you want to do it God's way, well, then whatever it is has to be laid down on the altar. It has to be given to him. And then you say, God, whatever you want. You know, Abram, leave your parents' house, leave your parents' land, and go to the place where I'm going to show you. Next day, gone. Abram, take your son, your only son, bring him to the place where I will show you, and offer him there as a burnt offering. Next day, gone, going. Doing whatever God told him to do. His ability to succeed was tied to his ability to hear God and then take action on the word that God had given him. And then God calls it worship. Amen? All right, let's look at Exodus chapter 32. Verse 1, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings. Mind you, Aaron related to Moses. Break off your golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hand. And he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go, get down, for your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I command them. They made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" Now, each and every single one of those Israelites knew that they were all lying. They all saw God deliver them, the real God. They saw God, Father God, they saw him through those plagues deliver them from the most powerful nation on the earth and bring them up out of that land where they were held captive as slaves. They saw the most wonderful deliverance. And that's what happens when people get born again. They see the most wonderful deliverance in their life. Freedom from sin. Freedom from bondage. Freedom from slavery to sin. And they'll go out, just like the children of Israel did, and they're cool with God while everything's good. But the minute they don't get their way, what do they turn back to? They make themselves some idol, some golden calf, some object in their life that takes precedence over the presence of God. We don't know what happened to that man Moses. We need something to worship. They say, "This is the God that brought you out of Egypt." They all knew that it wasn't true. They all knew that God was the one that brought them out of Egypt. And yet they had no problem sacrificing, putting offerings in front of, and worshiping a golden cow. You have a covenant with the living God that literally made the most powerful nation bow to you, and you decide to sell out to a golden cow? Are you serious? But if we're not careful, this so easily can happen into our own lives, where we begin to worship gold, where we begin to worship some sort of thing that has been created and fashioned by man. Now, God hates jealousy. It's a work of the flesh. But God says that he is a jealous God. Do you know what he's jealous about? Your worship. Your praise. He wants to be on the forefront of your mind. He wants to be at the top of your heart. He wants to be what you're full of. So when you wake up, here, I have to read these verses real quick. We're going to probably come back to them in another week. But let's go to the New Testament, just to these New Testament verses. And we'll come back to them. But Ephesians 5, verse 19 says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." See, I told you, it's scriptural. There's nothing wrong with singing. We're instructed as New Testament believers to sing songs and make melody to the Lord. Okay? Verse 20. "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus," the Christ. So in the passage where he's talking about praising and worshiping God in song, he tells us how to do it by giving him thanks in everything. Everything. You see, when you wake up in the morning, "Thank you, Father God, that I have breath today. Thank you, Father God, that you sustained me. Thank you, Father God, that I have health today. Thank you, Father God, that today is a brand new day to serve you, to walk in fellowship with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you fill me. Thank you that I have the ability to walk by faith, that I have the ability to walk by your word." Every day, full of thanksgiving. A trial comes your way. What do you do? Thank you, Father God, that I have the greater one living on the inside of me. Thank you, Father God, that I have the overcomer on the inside of me. Thank you, Father God, that you always lead us in triumph. Thank you, Father God, that you have led us in triumphal procession. Thank you, Father God, that you have always given us the victory. Everything, you thank God. This is how we praise. This is how we worship. There's got to be something more to it than that. You see, I think sometimes we might just complicate things, but really what God is looking for from you, is all of your heart, is all of your attention, is all of your praise and your worship devoted to Him. Now, that's not to say that you can't have time to love your wife and your children and spend time with them. It's not to say that you have to quit your job so that you have to stay home and sing songs to Him. Unless you're very ultra spiritual. Also known as weird. But when we notice that things are beginning to take space in our heart where we begin to put more value on Him, where it used to be a joy to go to church, but now it's just like, oh, I gotta go to church this morning, you know, I gotta do my spiritual worship. And that shouldn't be. If that's how it is coming to church, there's something in your heart that needs to change. It's not to say that we don't make mistakes. We learned from David that he had a soft heart towards God, and he made mistakes, but he always was quick to repent and to just, Father, I messed up. I take the blame. I screwed up. I'll take the penalty, but Father, I thank you that you're merciful. I thank you that you're patient. I thank you that you're gracious. And he would sing and he would worship no matter what was going on in his life. You can read the Psalms of how so many times he was up against opposition, against, you know, all these horrible things that were taking place as Saul was persecuting him. He had been anointed to be king, and yet he was able to worship God. Remember when he was anointed king, it says that God saw a man that was after his own heart. That's what God's looking for. That's the heart of worship. Is to be continually seeking after Him, seeking after His presence. Amen? I want to close in prayer. Oh, Father, we love you so much. We worship you. We honor you. We glorify your holy name. Maybe you are here this morning, and during this message, you realize that things have taken place in your heart that come before God. Maybe you realize that you've been putting more thought into your career than you have your relationship with God. Maybe you've put more thought into a relationship than you have with God, into having a relationship with someone else. Maybe you've put more thought into your finances, into your wealth, into your prosperity. Maybe your heart has become attached to things. Maybe your heart has become attached to a position, a title, a career. Maybe there's something that's been in your heart, and every time you go to worship and you want to lift up your hands, and it used to be so easy that I could just easily enter in the presence of God, but now it seems that whenever I go to worship that it's not like it used to be. The Bible tells us that we're to examine our own hearts. And I want us to just take a moment. And right there in your seat, you can examine your heart and find out This is the Lord speaking to me. Is there something in my heart that I haven't laid down? Is there something that I'm not able to offer to Him? Is there something that God has asked of me, but I haven't been able to give it? Because when you give Him your everything, His presence comes. As you worship Him, His presence comes and will change you from glory to glory into the image of His dear Son, Jesus. Father, by Your Holy Spirit, I thank You that one of the things that You do, Holy Spirit, is that You've been sent to convict us, to show us, to lead us and guide us back to the straight and narrow, back to the way that is so clear to the kingdom of God. I pray that we would open up our hearts and receive instruction from You right now in Jesus' name. That wherever something has been blocking Your ability to work in our lives, I pray that You convict us of it and lead us and guide us to show us what we must do. It might be something totally different for each and every single person, but God will show you what to do. And as you do it, and you begin to praise Him and worship Him from a full heart of love for Him, His presence comes, and the things of the earth will fade away. They lose their value, and you'll do anything for Him. So right there in your seat, I want you to do business with God. I want you to talk to Him from your heart. I want you to tell Him. Maybe there is something that's been there, that's been blocking your relationship with Him. And just repent. Give it over to Him. Tell Him, Father, You take this. You take this out of my heart. I lay it down for You. I give it to You. And if it's something that you need to do later this week, then promise Him that you'll do it and then be faithful to do it. But the first and most important thing is to lay it down and give it to Him. Make a covenant between you and Him. Maybe it's been your time, things that you've been wasting your time on. Maybe you need to just give something up and give Him precedence, first place in your life. Oh, Jesus. 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 And now in closing, why don't we all stand together and begin to just thank Him with our mouth. In Hebrews, I didn't read the verse. Let me read it quickly. Therefore by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. It's a sacrifice of praise to Him. Let's just thank Him in our own words. In your own words, see, forget everyone else all around you. It's you and Him this morning. We thank You, Father God. We thank You. We thank You. You're so good. Go ahead and just lift up your voice and thank Him. Thank You, Jesus. Thank Him for how good He is to you. Thank Him for how faithful He's been. Thank You for what He's given you, the family that He's given you, the provision that He's blessed you with, every good thing that He's done in your life, you can begin to thank Him for it. You see, and it comes up before Him as an offering, as a sweet-smelling aroma. It comes before Him. Oh, Lord, You're so good. You're so wonderful. Your presence is so good, Father. You've blessed us so richly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that from this morning, that we put first, that we give you first place in our life. That no matter what comes, the things that try to block up our heart, that try to stop us from seeking you, those idols that try to pop up, that those things that try to steal the praise and the glory from you, those things that we put more worth on than you, I thank you that you convict us, that you lead us by your Holy Spirit to always to return back to you, to give you the praise, the glory, the honor, to only worship you, the Creator, and not the creation, but that we worship you, that we give you our praise, our worship, our honor, that we freely can come into your presence, that nothing stops us, that we can boldly, with no sense of guilt or shame or sin, come into your presence because it's been washed away and we've taken action on your word. And if you believe it, in Jesus' name, say amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.